Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. This is number 106, and we are entering into the awesome month of August. That's a big thing. It's actually one of my favorite months of the year. My birthday happens to be in this month, but also because it's the Feast of the Assumption coming up on August 15th. This month in general is dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It's back to school, and this year on August 11th, we're putting the pre-sale tickets for the Arise Retreat on sale. So I'm super excited about that. And we'll talk a little bit more as we sprinkle in goodies and share with you an invitation to come away with us in April. And we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. Also coming up on today's program, a big thank you. You know, last week's show was something way out of my comfort zone, really necessary to discuss, but not something that I necessarily was excited to talk about. And that was an interview with Justin Hunt. He is a filmmaker, and he talked about this terrible pandemic, as he named it, of pornography. And you guys had such powerful prayers, eye-opening feedback. In fact, I think I'm going to read an email coming up in today's show that I believe says a lot about where we are and what exactly we're dealing with. So I don't want you to miss that. That's on the way. And if you're interested, a lot of people asked, what is the movie again and where can I see it? You can actually rent it now. I was under the impression initially you weren't able to access this film, but it's on Amazon. You can rent it. And it's called Addicted to Porn, Chasing the Cardboard Butterfly. But for me, it was a reminder to stay vigilant and the prayer of protection, the spiritual warfare that we're in. So again, that was episode 105. And coming up in this show, we'll share a follow-up to that as well. Also coming up on today's show, a really big leap of faith, digging deep, deep thoughts as we possibly make a decision that could be pretty enormous in our lives. So I'll get to that also on the way. If you would, let's kick off in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, you are the maker of our days and the keeper of our hopes and dreams. We praise you for all the good that you lavish upon us every day, day in, day out, no matter what storms are circling around us, that you, Lord, are the strong foundation that we cling to. Prepare us, O God, to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Help us to seek the example of Our Lady and give us the courage, Lord, to proclaim fiat, yes, in all that you ask us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Join the show. Share your feedback on Voxer. Find Brooke at BrookeTaylor1 or shoot us an email at feedback@goodthingsradio.com and be part of the conversation.
Still receiving a lot of feedback from our last show. That was episode 105, all about pornography and where we are today. It was definitely for me one of those shows where I felt shell-shocked afterwards and had to process over a couple of days. I'm still processing, to be honest with you, a lot of the conversations that we had. And then your feedback started coming in. And one email in particular really impacted me in a powerful way. And I just wanted to share it with you too, and especially thank the writer for having the courage, the bravery to step up and share this story. It starts like this. Dear Brooke, like many others in today's society, I had probably thought most of my life that pornography was a vice, yes, and not good for anyone, of course, but not such a big deal. I admit to my own willing exposure to it over the course of my lifetime, probably from adolescence onwards, and it was something that I felt everybody did. I was rudely awakened, however, in January of 2014. I was on my way to the hospital early on a Monday morning for a routine checkup when I received a call from the police department in my hometown suburb. They were in my father's house with a search warrant, and they had found my number in his address book. They told me I needed to contact him wherever he was and tell him he needed to go home. They would not tell me what any of it was about, not why they were there, not what was wrong, not what was going on, nothing. I knew my dad's routine was 7 a.m. mass every morning with the senior group at his parish and then out for donuts and coffee. It was after 8, so I called the donut shop they normally went to, and they were able to locate my dad at the table with his friends. He got on the phone and I told him the police had just called me. They were in his house with a warrant and he needed to go home. After the briefest moment, he just said, "Okay," and hung up.
I feared the worst at this point because his okay sounded so resigned, it's as if he knew why they were there. The police confiscated all of my father's computers and computer-related equipment and then videotaped him admitting to downloading child pornography from the internet. Ultimately, he was charged with 45 felony counts and pled guilty to all counts. The judge told him the only reason he was not going to prison was because he was 83 and in poor health at the time. He was given 6 months house arrest, 2 years probation, and will be on the registered sex offenders database for the rest of his life. Blessedly, my mother was dead by this time, but I found out later she had actually known. She had caught him with some of the images or videos he had downloaded. I don't know what she said or did, but clearly nothing that made him stop. I'm saddened that she died knowing that he was still engaged in this activity. Needless to say, this tore our family apart, probably permanently. I was the only adult child in town that would or could help him, so I did help him get a lawyer, and together we went through the 9-month criminal process. I cannot tell you how much this crushed my spirit. I needed therapy just to process it all. Not only this, but the many revelations that came from this, including learning that my older sister and probably my female first cousins had all been sexually abused by him. Of course, my father's journey started with an addiction to legal pornography, but that only served as a gateway to something much, much darker and illegal, something that crushes innocent lives. This has forced me to address my own laissez-faire attitude towards viewing or reading adult material. I recognize the difference between what my father did, but I now also recognize the dangerous slope. I pray for God's grace and strength to change and cleanse my heart, and in many ways, your program about this topic was a booster shot of courage and hope that others also recognize this danger and that we all need to speak up about it, call it what it is, reject it, and help others reject it, especially the last part, helping others reject it. I know this is a dark experience and not one I share easily, but this can be an abstract topic for people that have not been impacted in such a dramatic way. Sometimes to be able to say, I know someone whose life was destroyed by this, is a powerful message. Wow. And it goes on, but I think that really is the heart and soul of what we need to know. Beautifully written again. And I just cannot thank you enough, dear writer, for taking us into something that is so rarely addressed in depth. You might see the headline in the newspaper or on the news and then feel disgusted and turn the channel. But every man was made in God's image with great potential. And they have a story. And so to hear the other side of the story, I think is very powerful. John 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And again, the evidence that this is a pestilence, a poison, a plague that can devour anyone from the elderly down to innocent children. And as I contemplated that email, I thought we cannot know the impact of what that person's words will do to those who will hear this program. So the power it holds to open eyes, make some concrete changes in the right direction. So if you know anyone that might benefit from a program like this or an email like that, I encourage you to pass it along. And thank you again for the time and the honesty of that feedback.
Hello, it's Christina. I just wanted to leave a quick message and talk about the trip to the Holy Land that Brooke is leading. I felt really, really called to the Holy Land when she announced the trip back in October. So much so that I began, probably around December, dreaming about the Holy Land. I always wanted to go on pilgrimage and I thought that it was to Rome, but when I felt this strong urge for the Holy Land, and I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would feel literally dusty from walking in the desert with Jesus. So I knew that I needed to get there. We are just, you know, your regular single income family. I'm a stay-at-home mom and the budget is tight. When you look at the ticket of a pilgrimage like that, you're like, ah. So January came, I did the taxes, and I was like, I can't take that much out of our yearly budget. That made it more concrete. But I said, you know what, Lord, if you provide this for our family, for me to go, I am in. I am giving my yes. So a couple months passed and my husband started working a lot of overtime. And each month I didn't add up like the extra amount that came above our regular base income and say, oh, look, you know, over 4 months I have enough to go. That was not even my mindset, but it was still my prayer. Lord, if you provide, I will go. Yes, I will go. And, since I talk to Brooke regularly, I was, you know, she tells me about it and I'm like, oh, my heart was just burning. I needed to get there. So I just kept praying. And in June, my husband came home and he said, you know, I worked so much overtime this month. You know what? I over and above what we normally bring in. And it was weird because he actually sat and calculated it. And he said, it's $4,000. And I said, can I go on pilgrimage? And he said, sure. And I said, well, just pray about it. Like, we'll have a conversation. We'll sit down. He goes, I said, yeah, it's fine. I was like, yeah, but you worked all the overtime. Just, you know, let's talk about it. And he said, no, it's okay. I know that you've been really wanting to do it. Your heart's been calling you. God's been calling you. The fruits for our family will be good. Yeah, go ahead. So I just left it at that. And about a week went by and I was expecting to, you know, sit down and have another conversation just because of my personality type. I needed to talk about it. He didn't need to talk about it. He was fine. I needed to talk about it. It's a big decision. So I just texted him at work and I said, hey, you know, about the Holy Land. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, okay. And he goes, can I get the new Cleveland Indians baseball hat? I'm like, all you want is a hat? He's like, yeah. You want to go to the mall? I'm like, not really. He goes, well, I can take the kids. I'm like, okay. So not only am I going on pilgrimage, yay, thanks be to God, I am all signed up, but my husband, all he wanted was a baseball hat, and he took the kids out for 2 hours. So I actually got 2 hours to myself. So it was just a little praise report I wanted to share with you. And just to let you know, one of the things that kind of was really solidifying it from me was listening to the podcast with Jeff Cavins. And when he talked about pilgrimage and how important it was to do that with friends, and that kind of like pushed me over the edge to say, you know what, I need to like really, really do this. I need to take the leap of faith and I need to get this going. So thanks to Jeff Cavins and for his insight and for this podcast and just for the wonderful community, Brooke, that you have established and are giving your yes to the Lord so that, you know, we have these great opportunities. So I will keep you posted on my how my pilgrimage goes and hope to check back. But if anyone is going to the ladies' night out on August 5th, I will see you there. And also the Arise Retreat. I'm praying for all of you who feel called to that. And God bless you all. Okay, bye.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. Thank you, Christina. And I love what you said there about waking up feeling dusty. That is so cool. And it's interesting because I was actually reading a study that talks about, that was actually talking about the buildup, just simply anticipating a trip. And that can make you happier than the trip itself, believe it or not, because sometimes our trips don't live up to our dreams. Like our flights get delayed or the kids get sick or something's not what we expected. But that the process of anticipating a pilgrimage or a getaway is one of those things that's actually good for you. It's healthy to do that. And I concur. I mean, I've got a trip coming up that I'm so excited about, a little getaway for my birthday. We've got the Arise Retreat that I'm already dreaming about. And we've got this pilgrimage that I know God will do amazing things on. And again, sometimes it's not how you expect or what you think, but that's what makes it so exciting. So yes, we do still have room on that, the pilgrimage coming to the Holy Land. Also, though, I would say the Arise Retreat. And again, tickets will, at least pre-sale tickets, go on sale August 11th. And what I mean by that is we will not widely market this come August 11th. It will only be for our former retreatants and attendees and our Good Things Radio listeners. The first year we had women from 16 different states journey and come from different directions and all meet together at Loyola Retreat House. I think last year it was 11 different states. So we are so excited for what God's going to do in 2018. Any details, stay tuned. I'm going to have it on the show notes. The site isn't actually built yet, so I can't direct you there, but we are putting it together. And I know in the meantime, you can put it on the calendar August August 11th, and that will be where you can get tickets for the next Arise retreat. I hope you'll be there.
It's Brooks
House.
Ow. It's Brooks
House.
So a few months ago, I did a show all about moving. When do you move? What makes a house a home? If you had a dream scenario, where would you live? Would you live where you are right now? Are you content? And it was really born out of our own searching and asking that question, but it was one of the most downloaded shows I've ever done, and definitely one of the most responded to. So many of you wondering, praying, discerning that same question. And I really appreciated your feedback, because we're in a situation right now where we could move. My husband's from the South. He's from Florida, Georgia, that area. He loves the weather. That's his heart. And he's not just from the South. Like, his spirit was born in the South. So I don't know that he'll ever feel really truly home until he gets back below the Mason-Dixon line. And that's just him, but also with the recognition that his home is his family. He would do anything for his family. My family is where we live in Ohio, our community, our school, our church, and that's our life. But we also have been struggling, because the house we got about 2 years ago is a big house, and we got a great deal, which is really the main magnet that pulled us to actually buy and take that leap. But it's been really hard. It's been difficult month after month. I mean, you hear that phrase, house poor, and that has definitely been us. Because financially, we're basically on one income. It has been a constant struggle. So at some point, you just think, okay, is it better just to sell, cut our losses, simplify and downsize, and maybe make a profit? That was our hope, because when we bought our house, we really felt convicted that it was a God thing, because only God could bring the price down way more than we ever would have imagined and kind of put the puzzle pieces in place for us. And all of that happened. So we knew if and when we would ever sell, it would be one of those scenarios that you kind of flip and then make a profit. You know, it doesn't always work out that way, but that's what we were hoping. So for especially the last 6 months, that's what we've really deeply been thinking about. I see that this house and where we live is taking years off my husband's life, because he's working so hard. He's carrying so much. We don't want to default on bills. We don't want to get ourselves into a problem financially. And yet, we're so barely hanging on that if something were to happen, if we had a medical emergency or you name it, our car's about to die, we're stuck. So that's kind of where we've been, and finally discerning back and forth and talking to our real estate agent that we would just test the market. That's what it's called. We're going to test the market and see if we listed our house, what would happen. So for the last few weeks, that's what we've been doing, and it's been crazy. So we have been fixing the tiles that were broken in the kitchen. We've been power washing, and we've been getting the carpet cleaned, and you know the drill. It's every room, simplifying, decluttering, and then every now and then you just shove stuff underneath because you don't have time to deal with it. All of that with three floors. And when we moved in, I thought, what are we going to do with all this space? Well, you know quickly that you figure out what to do with all this space. So that's where we've been. And in the meantime, I have been on this roller coaster of emotions, because I don't want to move. So this preparation took a few weeks, and then our listing actually just went live, and within a few hours, we had a showing for the next day. And then I started crying, because I just felt so overwhelmed by the idea of moving again. All the stuff, all the factors, when you consider five kids and different schools and their needs and their stuff. And it really got me thinking again, what is it that makes a home? I thought when we moved into our current home that we would be here forever, that my heart would be content. And that just hasn't happened. And I want to simplify. But I know that when I had a smaller house, I longed for the day that we had enough space for everybody. And so it really makes me wonder if there is a secret recipe to contentment when it comes to the home. And of course, we know it is the souls within that dwelling. That's the answer that I would give. I was talking to my mom about this and my husband about this, and that's really what home is. But then I also look at the life of Christ. Jesus, God made man in flesh, the Word incarnate, coming into our world homeless. I mean, essentially, that's what it was. And not only was it just for his birth, his big debut, but then his parents were refugees and had to go to Egypt. And then throughout his life, he roamed and he preached. And even when he died, he did not have a burial plot that was his own. He was buried in another man's grave. And that's the Matthew 8:20 verse, really, about his life. Jesus himself said, "Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." And so I've really been thinking about that. Is all of this restlessness just
longing for heaven, because God is Emmanuel, our Savior. Our Father whom we serve is Emmanuel, God with us. So He is with us, whether we are in the woods and we have a little hovel, whether we are in Haiti, a military family and separated, He is with us. But I know for myself, there has always been this sense of, I'm not quite home yet. I'm not quite home. So I just am throwing it out there to you. What are the factors that make you feel home? Because I recognize that it's not exterior. It is interior. So I'm thinking, what am I not putting my finger on in my interior spiritual life that I'm missing, that's making me feel like I'm not home? And then for me, it gets convoluted, because it's with the discernment process. I'm thinking, well, maybe God is calling us to simplify. That's why I'm not happy. I don't want to see my husband live that way. We are not a keeping up with the Joneses kind of family. We just want a place that we can kind of be our holy hillbilly selves and enjoy. I mean, our kids don't have their own rooms. Everybody shares. I don't need new stuff. But again, I think I want it to be a safe neighborhood, a good community, but also a place where my husband and his back-breaking work is not going to go into an early grave because he's trying to just pay the mortgage. And is it possible to check all those factors? And then when you do, find true contentment. The sooner we find that answer, I think the more at peace we will be. So let me know. Shoot me your thoughts. I would love to hear from you, whether it's Voxer, Brooke Taylor, and the number one is how you can find me, or also via email, which is feedback@goodthingsradio.com. And I'll keep you posted. I'm asking for prayers, please. So here's what we're doing. It's 4 weeks that we're testing the market, because we're August. I mean, it's almost back to school. So I didn't want to try to move and have the kids uprooted and all of that. So on the advice of our real estate agent, she said to list it for 4 weeks, see what kind of feedback we can get. And then if we want to relist next spring, we at least have this time to make changes or do what might need to be done to help us actually get it sold. So I don't know. And then if it does sell, I'm not even thinking about it. I don't know. I don't expect that we're going to get an offer in such a short time. But that's why I need your prayers. So pray God's will be done. And whatever it is, we have a spirit of acceptance and obedience, and would love to hear from you and your story as well. So we packed a lot of different things into today's episode, a little bit of a short one, though, but kind of all over the place. And I have to also share a big thank you before we conclude, and that is to the Dane Foundation and my friends at Miss Wheelchair USA. I had a chance to MC the annual competition over the weekend, spent time with finalists, women from Wyoming and Illinois, Wisconsin, North Carolina, Florida, so many other places, and it is one of the most wonderful things I get to be a part of every year. If you've listened to the show before, you may have heard stories of these contestants, women that I've been able to meet. This year's winner, I just want to tell you a little bit about her, because her story is amazing. Her name is Madeline Delp. She's from North Carolina. She was paralyzed at the age of 10 after she was in an automobile accident. She sustained a spinal cord injury, paralyzed from the waist down, and today, I think she's in her 20s. I'm not sure, but she is this amazing woman, fluent in like Chinese and Italian and Latin and Spanish, and just signed on with a production company to do this Boundless Life series, basically showing the world that we can overcome anything with God's help. And she, I mean, all the women are so incredible. That's just one. There was another woman that I met, Amy, and she had been in a wheelchair for years. And then just over the last year was able to get a prosthetic leg. Now she walks with a walker, but she had to charge her leg. She actually had a USB, and she had to charge it because it has like power steering kind of capability on the leg. You learn so much. We laugh. I'm inspired. So just a big thank you to Lowry Lockhart and all the people there. And I just love being a part of it. So a big thank you to the Dane Foundation. Our next event is Ladies Night. It's a Ladies Night Out coming up on August 5th. Christina mentioned it. We've been putting it out there too on social media. We want you to come. So if you are in Ohio, Indiana, West Virginia, doesn't matter, Pennsylvania, come to this event. It's free, with Pastor Linda Isaiah and singer-songwriter Lori Triplett, who I know you will love. So check out again social media if you can, but we would love to have you there. And I know that it's a busy month, so prayers for you, God's grace over every single detail, whether it's back to school, just getting your bearings as we prepare to kind of begin a new season, and may Our Lady enfold you in her mantle through all you do. Friends, I hope you have a wonderful, blessed week. Embrace the holy seconds of your day and pray for me and our family and our house. God bless you. Until next time, friends, God be with you. Peace and love.